Do y'all remember those? And you go, anyhow, praise God. Glory to God. That was wonderful and beautiful. And so, Lord, anyhow, today I'm going to talk about following Jesus. And I tell you what, if you want to follow something, you want to follow something that's going to lead you in the right path, follow Jesus. Amen. We can follow a lot of stuff here on this earth. Who here has followed something and went the wrong way? Amen. I have more than one time. I've followed a lot of different things, had a lot of different thought processes in my life. And if it's not following the Lord, it always ends up somewhere I really didn't want to be. Amen. But every time that I followed Jesus, I wound up at the right place at the right time. Never too early, never too late, but always perfectly in His time, in His will. And through His grace, I wound up where I needed to be. Jesus laid it out kind of plain and simple in Matthew chapter 10. We'll get into that here in just a minute. But before I go there, let me ask the Lord for a blessing on the words we're going to study today. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. Lord, I pray that we would actually and truly in our hearts walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, that we could have a faith that goes way beyond understanding, Lord Jesus, that we would be willing to walk with You, to follow You wherever You might lead us. Lord, I pray that You would give us courage to possibly adjust our life, Lord God, to where You are going to be in the spot that You need to be in, and, or where You are at, there we could be also. Lord, I ask that You would move in Your body, in this group of people, Father, to help us focus not on ourselves, not on our desires, not on our needs, but what You would have us to do and to be. And Lord, I thank You and I praise You for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus lays it out kind of simply, and starting in verse 37. And He says, listen, he that loveth his father or his mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he that loveth his son or his daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after Me is not worthy of Me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for My sake shall find it. And in those few verses right there, Jesus is laying out a focus plan for the church. Let me ask you this. Who do you love more? Amen? Who do you really love? Who do you love? Now, there's nothing wrong with loving your mom and dad. You ought to love your mom and dad. In fact, the Bible tells you to honor your mother and father that you can have a long life in the land, right? That's the first commandment with promise. But remember what He said even before all that, hey, Israel, the Lord your God is one God. You shall do what? Love Him with all of you. Amen? All your strength, sight, mind, everything that you have in you to love the Lord God. First and foremost, before you love your neighbor as you love yourself, love God first. And Jesus said, if you're going to be My disciple, if you're going to follow Me, you ought to love Me more than you love your mom and daddy. A lot of folks have a hard time with that. A lot of parents have a hard time with this. You've got to love Me more than you love your own kids. If your kids are taking you away from the body of Christ, if your kids are drawing you out, away from your relationship with God, you got to make a cutting point there. Listen, I love You, Lord God, and I trust You more than I trust the situations that I'm in. I want to be Your disciple. I want to be Yours. I want to follow You. And if somebody is stopping me from following the Lord, guess what I got to do? I got to cut some ties. I cannot swim across the pond with a weight tied around my neck because I will drown. If there's something in my life that's stopping me from following the Lord Jesus Christ with the fullness of my heart, with the fullness of my life, I've got to cut that loose that I might know God better. And those are hard things because we love our kids, we love our parents. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you don't love Me more than that, you're not worthy of Me. And Luke, he says, you can't be My disciple if you don't love Me more. Who here wants to be a disciple, a student of the Lord Jesus Christ? I do, and I want you to be that. And that takes some following. That means You need to adjust your life to what God is doing around you more than what you see. If your husband is stopping you from coming to church, you got to say, no, darling, I love you, but I love God more, so I'm going to go to where the preaching of the Word of God is, that I can be a better wife to you. If you have a wife that doesn't want you to walk with the Lord, you've got to say, no, sweetheart, I've got to cut the line right here, because if I'm going to be a husband to you that I need to be, I've got to follow God first. I've got to be in His will that I can meet you where you're at and cover you with what I need to cover you with. If your children are saying, Mom, Dad, you've got to do for me and not do for the Lord, then you say, no. Well, first of all, it's your kid. You shouldn't have your kid telling you what you ought to do anyhow. Because you gave birth to them, they didn't give birth to you, right? And you tell your kid, no, no, son, I want to teach you what the goodness of God is. I want to show you how important my relationship is to God. So no, we're not going to go to the football game today. No, we're not going to do whatever you want to do. This is God's day, and I'm going to follow God because I love you. We're not going to do this, but we're going to do that. Amen. I tell you what, that takes some real parenting skill there. All right, and it takes some real love, loving God more than you love anybody else, to follow Him and His righteousness. But that's what God demands, isn't it? That's not a high asking. That's saying, if you desire to be my disciple, I must be first in your life.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Are you willing to do that? Amen. All right. Well, do you know that's going to cost you something? Do you know that following Jesus is an expensive proposition, but it's worth the cost? It's worth the cost. Israel had been sinning against God for a long time. All right, this is Jeremiah 29. Y'all may know verse 11. All right, but I'm going to make sure you understand verse 11 before we get there to it. All right, Israel had been serving idols for a long time, and God said, listen, if you're going to serve idols, I'm going to take you out of the land. Israel had not been following the commandments of God to allow the land to rest on the seventh year. And God said, listen, if you do this, I am going to take you out of the land. So God starts speaking to Jeremiah as he's about ready to allow Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon to come and take the remnant that was in the land out of the land and take them away from there for a certain amount of time. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, I'll start reading in verse 10. Y'all turn there to make sure I'm right. Say amen when you get there. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. I think that you can find it. Jeremiah, I heard an amen, so we can get started. Jeremiah chapter 29 and starting in verse 10. For this saith the Lord. Anytime you hear that, that ought to make your ears perk. All right? Because my opinion does not matter here. Really doesn't. If it does not line up with the Word of God, don't be saying it. Amen? So Jeremiah is saying, thus saith the Lord. After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. And I will perform my good word toward you. And in causing you to return to this place, talking about the promised land of Israel, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Verse 14. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from the nations and from all of the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. All right, now catch what Jeremiah is talking about here. They had sinned in the early parts of chapter 29 that lists out the sins that they had been doing and how they had sinned against God. God said, because you have sinned against me, I'm going to draw you out of the land. I'm going to take you out of this place of promise because you sinned against me, because you chose not to follow me. All right? When you choose not to follow you follow God, you know that there is a cost that's accompanied with that. When you choose not to follow the Word of God, God says, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to take you out of the promises that I had for you. If you start saying, well, children, I'm going to follow you instead of following God, guess what God's going to do? He's going to start shaking the foundation of your family. When you start saying, husband or wife, I'm going to follow you more than I'm going to follow God, what's God going to do? He's going to make a rift in that family. He's going to tear it up. He's going to shake it, you know, because you need to choose today who you're going to follow. Now, as God is talking to Israel, he's talking to a nation. He's not talking to the church here. I want to make that clear to you. The nation had sinned against God, and God said to that nation, I'm going to take you out of the land of promise for 70 years. For 70 years. That means some of y'all who are 50 years old, you're going to die in the land of slavery, not in the land of promise. But some of you who are young, you're going to grow up as a slave, but you're going to be set free in 70 years. You're going to be able to come back to the land. So God wasn't done with Israel then. The reason that God did this to the Israelite people in Deuteronomy 28. Now this is the blessings and the cursings of God in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm just going to kind of buzz through some of these real quick. We got time. I might take some time and talk about it. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the... Oh, I need to start back a little bit. I need to start actually, instead of verse 15, that's where I need to stop, not where I need to begin. So God says, I'm going to bless you with certain blessings, all right? If you walk with me, I'm going to give you some blessings. Who here wants to be blessed by God? Amen. It says in 28 chapter 1, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. What does that mean, hearken diligently? Obey, pay close attention to. Okay? If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all, how many of his commandments? All of his commandments, all right? Which I command you this day. That the Lord thy God will set upon thee on the high, set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Again, he's talking to the Israelites, right? If you do what I say, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to put you high above all other nations, right? He says, I'm going to bless you. Man, I'll tell you what, if you walk with me, if you obey me, I will bless, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, and the blessings will overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed you'll be in the city. Who wants to be blessed in the city? Follow God. Amen. Blessed you'll be in the field. Who wants to be a successful farmer? Amen. Follow God. If you'll follow God, he'll do that for you. Blessed will be the fruit of your body and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of your kind and the cattle and the increase of your kind, which means cows in a different name, and the increase of your flocks and the sheep. Blessed you will be, and blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when you goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way, and they will flee before you seven different. All right, do you see? Now, what will make all those blessings happen to you? Obey the Lord, right? So if you obey, if you follow God, he says, I'm going to do this for you. If you do it the way I tell you to do it, if you walk with me the way that I tell you, I'm going to bless you, George. I'm going to fill your baskets full. I'm going to give you more than what you can stand if you will obey me, if you will follow my commands, right? Well, what happens if you don't? All right? Verse 15 talks about all the things that will happen to you if you don't. All those blessings that he just talked to you will turn to curses before your eyes. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now what did he say? If you do not listen to me, if you do not follow me. That's what he's talking about. All right? To observe all the commandments and the statutes which I have commanded you this day, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Who here wants to be cursed of God? Let me ask you, who are you following? All right, because you may say you don't want to be cursed of God, but if you ain't following God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get cursed. And you're not going to get cursed by me, because who cares if I curse you? I have no authority over you, right? But when God curses you, that's a curse you can't do. That's something that you cannot have. That's something you won't be able to survive through. All these curses, curse you'll be in the city, and curse you'll be in the field, curse you'll be... All those things I talked about, blessings turned into curses. I'll make it shorter there, okay? So everything he said that I will bless you in, if you follow me, if you do not follow me, I'm going to curse you in the same way. So it really lays out, what do you want? Do you want a right relationship with God, or do you want to be cursed by God? Do you want to follow him, or do you not want to follow him? Does God twist your arm one way or the other? No. What he does, he lays it out before you nice and plain. He said, listen, I am the Lord your God. If you will follow me, this is what's going to happen. And he says on the other side, listen, I am the Lord thy God. All right? God doesn't change. If you do not follow me, this is what's going to happen. Whose choice is it then? It's your choice, right? It's our choice. We choose to follow God or we choose not to follow God. Now he's talking about Israel there. How does that pull over to the church? How about abiding, John chapter 15? If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, right? How about that one? Well, you say, well, all this is Old Testament stuff, Curtis. We're not an Old Testament church. We're a New Testament church. Well, stop that thinking. Stop that. We are a Bible-believing church. I believe it from Genesis through Revelation. I believe it in the middle and the top on the sides. I believe everything except for the commentary on the bottom. Okay? That's why my Bible doesn't have one. Amen. My Bible, just a plain Bible, it's just simple to work. And I don't mind, you know, if you want a Bible with a commentary, that's between you. Alright? But I think the Bible pretty much explains itself pretty plain. Right? And so, thinking about that, we know a basis, right? And I said all that just to kind of form the base of what we're talking about. Following God, there's a reward. Not following God, there's a reward. Alright? Either you're going to be rewarded with a blessing or you're going to be rewarded with a cursing. One way or the other, you're going to get what you sow. In fact, the Bible says that you will reap what you sow. If you plant corn, don't expect watermelons to come up. Right? And it's plain and simple. So understand those things before we get any further. Now, in the New Testament, we're under a new covenant, all right? I don't have to slaughter a cow to get forgiveness. You know, I don't got to go to the temple. I don't have to wash my hands a certain way, anything like that. Jesus said, I have a new covenant for you under my blood, right? This is the blood of the new covenant. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Then no longer do you have to take and do the old sacrificial system anymore. Isn't that good? I'm glad that I don't got to do that. I've been to a slaughterhouse a couple times. It's not a nice place. Right? Excuse me there. Breakfast. I'm sorry about that. It's just gross. I don't have to go to the slaughterhouse anymore. Because Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price for my sin. Now, but because he paid the price for my sin, I still need to walk in obedience to him. Jesus, as we looked before, he said, if you want to be my student, you must follow me. You've got to love me more than you love all of these other things, right? That's what God was saying in the Old Testament. If you follow my commandments, that's proof that you love me. Jesus saying, if you love me, then you need to follow my commandments. All right? And the first commandment to fill all the other commandments in the Word is what? Love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your heart, all your mind. And then love your brother as you love yourself, right? If you do those two things, then you've completed all the law of God. The problem is, we always skip that first part. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, soul, and mind. We'd say, well, I'm going to follow the golden rule and love my brother. If you don't love God, then loving your brother ain't doing no good. You've got to love God first, and he's got to be first and foremost in your life. That means when he says jump, you start saying how high. And you jump until he tells you to quit jumping. It's going to cost you something to follow him. Do you know that? Christianity is not an easy thing. Walking with Jesus is not an easy thing. But I guarantee you, you will never walk on your own if you are with him. Right? He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I absolutely believe that. As long as I'm walking with him, and regardless of the trouble, regardless if he brings me into Babylon or wherever he leads me to, if I walk with him, he will bless me there. Amen? It does not matter right side or left side. And Romans chapter 6, started reading in verse 11 and going to 23. Listen, I need to think myself dead to the old man. How about you? How is that old sinner living in your body? Is he alive and kicking, or did you kill him good? Amen. Don't wound him. You got to kill him, right? And so, starting in verse 11 of chapter 6 in the book of Romans, he says, "Likewise, ye also yourselves." Who is that? Ye also yourselves. It's you guys. It's me. It's us. It's all. If you're reading it, it's you guys, right? It's me. "Reckon yourself dead, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof." All right, now let me not change it, but let me make you think a little bit. Who are you supposed to be following here? Jesus. You're supposed to be following the Lord, right? If your flesh tells you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, who's correct? The Word of God is, right? Jesus is. The Word of God is correct. Now, if I do something that is outside of this Bible right here, who's wrong? I am. Who needs to make an adjustment? I do. When you make an adjustment and you start walking with God, where do you end up? With God. Amen. You end up with Him, following Him, and you will be the flock, His people, right? That's what He's telling you. "Neither yield your members to the instruments of unrighteousness, unto sin." What are we supposed to not do? Sin. What is sin? Well, not anything that hurts the Word. Amen. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God, that is sin. All right. So don't give yourself over to the lust of it. "Let not sin therefore reign or rule your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof." So what are you lusting after? All right. Where are you? Who are you following when you sin? Who are you? When I say, "Amen, I'm following my own flesh. I'm doing what I want to do and not what God wants me to do. I'm refusing to make the adjustment in my life that leads to righteousness." Why? Because it's uncomfortable. Right? If I follow Jesus, right? And I'm going to tell you this is true. And tell me if I'm wrong. When I follow Jesus, it hurts my flesh. Because my flesh wants what my flesh wants. I want what I want. When do I want it? I want it now. All right, God says, "Stop it. Follow me." Well, wait, that's going to hurt my feelings. God's no respecter of your feelings. He doesn't care how you feel. He says, "Listen, learn how to walk with me, trust me, follow me, and I will change your feelings when you get there. Abraham, follow me, and I will bring you to a land that I'll show you." Amen? Follow me, and I'm going to bring you, I'm going to change you, I'm going to do something in you that you cannot do yourself. And if you continue to follow your flesh, you'll never experience God in a real personal way. Right? If you continue going your way, well, what are some of the things that it might cost you? Think of this, huh? Everything. It cost you everything. Everything you thought was worthwhile, if it doesn't line up with what God says, it's not going to pay out for you, right? It's not going to do you any good. Hey, let's look at a couple characters we've talked about over the last couple weeks. People, they're not characters. I'm a character. How about Noah? Who knows what Noah did before he was told to build an ark? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't an ark building expert. All right, that wasn't his job. Hey, I'm an architect. No, he didn't know what he was doing. He had no idea. So whatever Noah was doing, we know that he was righteous in his generation. But whatever he was doing, God said, "Stop doing that. Follow me and go for it." No, stop that. I got to quit that joke because it's not scripturally correct. All right, how do you like that? I like God. He said, "Finally, come on." And so God said, "Listen, what I want you to do is build an ark. And you're going to build an ark out of a particular type of wood, gopher wood." All right? And he said, "This is what you're going to have to do." So what was Noah doing before that? Doesn't matter. If you're going to follow God, you've got to stop what you're doing and start what he told you to do. Right? So Noah's life changed. I don't know what he was before he became an ark builder. I don't have any idea, but I know that you don't have time to do both things at the same time. You're either going to obey God and follow Him, or you're going to obey yourself. Now, if Noah would have chosen not to follow God and build an ark, what would have happened? All life would have drowned. Because God was going to do something. He was going to judge sin. Right? He was going to take care of the sin problem at that time because the hearts of man was corrupt and absolutely wicked. Every thought of their mind was on wickedness. Amen? How about Abraham? He couldn't stay in his father's house and become a great nation at the same time. Leave your daddy's house. Love me more than you love your mom and dad. When did Abraham start becoming a great nation? The moment he stepped out by faith. The moment he started following God and not leaning on his own understanding, right? That's when it started happening. How about Amos? We haven't talked about him, but in Amos chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, we know that Amos was a keeper of the sycamore trees and a herder of sheep. All right, that's not a bad job, but anyhow, he was doing something else, right? He was doing his lifestyle. He was keeping sycamore trees. He was herding sheep. Man, life was good. All of a sudden, God said, listen, hey, I want you to go speak to the king. Who's going to watch the sheep? Who's going to keep the sycamore trees? God says, I don't care. It's not your business. Are you going to follow me and you're going to accomplish being my prophet, my word? Are you going to do that or are you going to stay with sycamore trees? You got a choice. Amos chose to follow God, and God worked through him in a mighty way. Amen? How about Peter, James, Andrew, and John? They had fishing. They had a fishing job. They were fishermen. What's that deadliest catch? Right? I saw it. Is that even on anymore? Anyhow, way back when I had cable TV, I used to watch this thing called The Deadliest Catch, right? They were fishermen. They'd go out in Alaska and they'd catch king crabs, stuff like that. Not really a good show, but it wasn't as bad as some. Right? Anyhow, it doesn't matter about that. Imagine you had one of those freighters and you were out and you were supposed to catch a crab, and God says, hey, I can't call any of their names. Say one of their names was Peter. Follow me. What did Peter have to do? He had to quit fishing. I make you fisher of men. Oh, wait a second. I've been around men. I really don't like men that much. You know, I'd rather fish. No, he had to quit his fishing job to follow Jesus. James had to quit his fishing job. They all quit their fishing businesses. It cost them. How about Matthew? He was a tax collector in his day. When Jesus came to Matthew, what did he have to do? Shut the store. Amen? And back in those days, that was profitable. He had to quit what he was doing to follow God. Right? How about Saul? When Saul was changed on the road to Damascus, right? He had to quit being the religious zealot that he was on that side of the law and start being a servant to the Most High God. He had to stop what he was doing and start following something different. Here's a personal line of me, right? I was a Florin scholar for 30 years. I never, ever, ever dreamed about being a pastor. I really didn't. I did not, had no desire to be that. As I drove through a town, the Lord laid on my heart, nobody's preaching the gospel here. What you going to do about it? I had a choice. I had to quit what I was doing and start pastoring a church. Start a church. Didn't have a whole lot of help. In fact, everybody from the church that I came from, that I know and love, they laughed at me, and many of them told me that I could not do it. You're too old. You're not able to do that. You've never been to pastorate school. You can't do that. Amen. Y'all know them, right? You know? You're not cut out for it, Curtis. You're a divorced man. You can never pastor. Right? You're a sinner. Dude, you were a drug addict, man. You can't pastor a church. Right? God can do through you whatever you're willing to surrender to Him. Amen? And when I started the church, I kind of didn't quite know my faith was where I needed to be. So the first year I did floor installation and pastored the church. And at the end of that year, God was really breaking my heart in a horrible way. Kurt, he said, as plain as I'm talking to you, he spoke to my spirit and said, Curtis, you can either go back to laying floors, and I'll bless you there, not as good as I will here, you go back to laying floors, or you make up your mind to preach the gospel. I said, all right, God, I'm in. So what did I do? I put my truck for sale on the side of the street. I was asking $1,000 for it. That was what was on the windshield, big soap. $1,000 for a work truck. Fella come up, he offered me $1,500 for it. Gave me $500 profit. That was my first paycheck. Right? $500. So anyhow, so I sold my truck. I kept my tools, but I sold my truck. So I can't go back. I burned the boat. Amen? I decided to follow God. And let me tell you, the rewards of being a pastor are way much better than the rewards of being a forged honor. I may not have two dimes in my pocket from time to time, but that's okay. I'm storing up treasures in heaven where the moth can't steal. I don't know if you've ever done business for yourself. Alan, how many times do you end up on the short end of the stick? Amen, right? Yeah. Anybody who's ever done business for themselves figures out that it's really, you end up getting, I have another word, I'm really struggling not to say it.
Okay.
Pardon? Burned, that's a good word, because I was thinking like a Phillips. Yeah. Right? And so anyhow, you know, if you're doing that kind of, but when you follow God, is it harder? Sometimes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, I don't know where the money's going to come to do what I'm called to do. I don't know. But you know, I lay that before the cross, and you know what happens? The bills get paid. It happens. God takes care of those things. How is God going to do this? I have no idea. And it's not my job to know what to do. My job is to follow Jesus and study the Word of God. Do you know how boring it gets in that office? Because you're by yourself. There's nobody else there. Do you talk to yourself? Yeah, because there's nobody else to talk to. Amen? So you read the Word, you study, you prepare, and you work, and you work, and work hours upon hours. And you say, Joshua, I love you. Talked to you the other day. He said, oh, you write a sermon in 20 minutes. It takes me 15 hours to get one of these things on paper. You know, to go back and make sure everything's right. 15 hours for one, right? And I was doing four a week. And that's not counting the Bible study that I prepare for. And all the other things. But anyhow, that doesn't matter. See, I'm following God. Does God take care of me? Absolutely. Do I know how He does it? Absolutely not. I have no idea how He does it, but I know that He does it. You know, because there, if you look, people, when I moved to New York, I could not read. I had a sixth grade education. Do you know that? Sixth grade education. And I really believe that one and one are 11. What do you mean? One, ten, well, that's 11, right? You put two ones beside each other. One plus one is two, but one and one are 11. And that whole math thing, pi r squared. No, it ain't. Pi r round. Kager squared. You know? Come on. It's just stuff. It's just silly things, right? And so anyhow, when you're thinking about, are you willing to count the cost and follow Christ? Are you willing to love Him more than your mom, your dad, your kids? Are you willing to love Him more? Well, when you decide to say, yes, God, I belong to You and I love You more, it's going to cost you some of your circumstances, maybe your job, your home. We were living very comfortably in Gates, and my neighbors liked me, right? But God said, listen, if you're going to minister in this town, you need to live in this town. Nobody knows me there. Nobody really knows you where you're at either. But they liked me there. So I came here, and I thought people would like me here. People don't like you when you stand up for Jesus. They really don't. And so anyhow, so it costs you your job. How about your finances? All that stuff, your home, your job. How about your relationships? When you really start following Jesus, do you think your kinfolk really like you? They really don't. I mean, there are some, don't get me wrong, there's some folks that like you. But if you're really following for Jesus and they're not following Jesus, they will hate you for that. You know? I don't understand why you can't do blah, 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 do this, do that, do the other. You know, you used to show up for all the things. You don't show up for none of the things anymore. And you say, well, why are you showing up? Because I'm following Jesus. You're a hypocrite. I can't tell you how many of my kinfolk call me hypocrite because I follow Jesus and not them. Amen? Love you, George. How about the way that you think? When I started following Jesus, my prejudices had to change. Right? I was raised in a house of bigots. I was raised down south, and we thought we were white, and we were right. Black is beautiful, tan is grand, but white is the color of the big boss man. Right? And that's what I was taught. And that's what I was, and it was wrong. I'm not saying that it was right. It was bigoted. It was wrong. But I didn't know that until I came to know Jesus. And I really didn't know that, that underneath the skin we're all the same. Your prejudices have to change. Your mindset, you got to look at people for the potential of what God sees in them more than what you see in them. Right? Because I looked around and I said, man, God can't use none of you guys. Amen, right? Amen. I'm brutally honest, right? You look at it and say, he'll never use Odette. He'll never use you. Oh, man. But no, God will. You follow him and he is using you, right? He's using you mightily. How about, your commitments. Wow, when you start following Jesus, do your commitments change? Amen, they ought to. What becomes first in your life when you're following Jesus? Jesus, the Word of God, Jesus, right? All of a sudden, well, my boss told me I got to work on Sunday. Then if you've got to, you got to. But really, do you think God would take care of you if you said, boss, you know, I'm not going to work on Sunday because I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the body. I'm going to go be a blessing to somebody else. Do you think God would honor that? I know he will. I know he will. You know what will happen if you start saying, well, I would rather work on Sunday because I got to make that extra day's pay? Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a hole in your bucket or your finances and you'll never be able to fill it again. The only way that you're going to clog that bucket is come back to Christ and he'll stick his finger in there for you. He'll clog that bucket and all of a sudden you'll have more than you can stand. Right? He wants to bless you. How about your actions? When you follow Jesus, should your actions change? Amen. Amen. Your belief systems. When you start making adjustments, not to a religious system, not to your circumstances, man, how many folks I've seen it here. Thank you, Lord, for this. And I hope that I do hurt your feelings when I say this. All right? This is why we have such a small church. Because I really don't care how you feel. When you start saying things like, well, I'd love to do more Bible study, but blah, blah gets in the way. And I'm just going to call it blah, blah, because I don't know what the blah, blah is in your life. The thing. I'd like to do more time in prayer, but Starsky and Hutch is on. Right? It goes down for a while. I'd like to do more time in Bible study, but there's a blah, there's a thing. I've got to watch people drive around in circles. Right? NASCAR. I've got NASCAR to do. Yeehaw. Or I can't come to church because they're hitting a small ball. Right? I got to go play small ball, and they whack it with a club and they chase it around a field all day. Right? You put your whatever it is in there. I love to come worship the Lord with the body of Christ, but I got to mow the grass. The grass is going to grow on Monday anyhow, so why'd you take off Sunday to mow it? Right? Anyhow, it costs you something. If you really want to follow Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. Because you cannot stay where you are and go with God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Do you know that you can't, you cannot do the same thing and go with God unless you're already going with God? And the more you go with God, the easier it is to let go with all the other garbage, right? You start really following God, trusting God, walking with God, and all of a sudden that stuff that used to hold you up, you shake it off like the water on a duck's back. It does not affect you anymore. Isn't that a good thing? Oh, and man, I tell you, then those blessings of God being blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed in the field, all those things come from obeying and following and walking with the Lord, putting His love on you and pouring it out to others. Not for a religious system, right? But for a love relationship that's real and personal. See, we don't adjust our lives to a method. We adjust our lives to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. See, it's not just coming to church that makes a difference. And don't get me wrong, I like it when y'all show up. Because I have preached on a Sunday morning where it's just me and my wife. Right? That was a much shorter sermon. there have been those days where nobody comes. And that's okay. Because we've adjusted our life to what God wants us to do. And damn the torpedoes, folks. I do not care. I don't care. I do not care. if anybody comes. That's not up to me. I can't make you come and I can't make you stay. Now, that may sound real arrogant to you, but after years of doing this, I know that there's nothing I can do in my power to keep you here. Either you're going to follow God and do what He tells you to, or you're not. If you don't, there's a price to pay. When you worship something more than you worship God, there's a price to pay. You're going to reap what you sow. If you're going to sow to the Spirit, you will reap righteousness. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. It's simple and plain. Somebody grab my wife. The adjustments which God works in are real. The following God is a real thing. And He's going to do what He wants to. Do you know that what God does really doesn't revolve around you? God was going to flood the earth whether Noah built the ark or not. Right? God was going to build a great nation whether Abraham walked with Him or not. God was going to make the church whether the Hebrews believed in Him or not. Right? God's going to accomplish what He has set out to accomplish. And we have not much to say about it. The question is, do you want to know Him in a real personal way? Then you must follow Him, because only through Him can you experience Him. Right? That makes sense to you? Walking with Him? Isaiah 45 and verse 9, just through 13. I'm not going to talk a lot about this. You can come on up here, honey. Remember the former things of old. For I, God, am there and none else. All right? The former things, God was there when nothing else was there, right? I am God and there is none like me. Did you hear what God said? He is God. There's none. And He declares the end from the beginning, from the ancient of times, of the things that are not yet, none saying, my counsel stand and I will not do all my pleasures. What He's saying, listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to let you know all these things. And He says in verse 11 of 45, calling the ravenous birds from the east, that executed my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass? God. Yeah.
Where are you reading from?
Isaiah 45.
46.
Is 46? Okay. My apologies. Isaiah 46. And so I wrote it wrong on my paper here. Okay, verse 12. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, for that are far off from righteousness. Verse 13. I will bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion. Right? So you look at who's going to do all these things? God. All right? Do you want to be involved with what God is doing? Amen. What do you got to do? You got to obey. You got to make an adjustment in your life, because God is moving forward. God is always at work. God's going to accomplish what God's going to do. And if you want to be a part of it, you've got to change your mind. And it may cost you changing your presence. You know, where you are, the way you think. Because if you're thinking outside of what God is thinking, you will never experience God in a real personal way. You know that? If you're doing things outside of what God is doing, you're never going to experience Him in the fullness that He wants you to experience it. Who here knows deep down in their soul, in their heart right now, that you are not experiencing God in the fullest that you can? Do you know an adjustment that you can make in your life right now to get you closer? The only thing stopping you is air and opportunity. Don't let the air stop you. All right? If you know that you need to do something in your life to follow God more closely, do it. Or stop doing it. You make the adjustment, because you're not going to stop God from doing what He's going to do. If you want to know Him deep and personally, you've got to stop what you're doing that doesn't glorify Him. Anything that is in your life that is sin before him stops you knowing him in the fullness that you can know him. All right? He has it. The toy box is open, right? All you got to do is get in there and play. The only thing that's stopping you from playing is you don't want to. The only thing that stops you from following God is you want to do something else besides that, right? So I don't know what to tell you because I can't make you do that. He did that because he loves you, right? Now, do you love him enough to die to you and walk with him? Die to yourself and live with Christ. Do you love him enough for that? I hope you do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll have a closing song. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your righteousness. I pray, Father, that as the words were spoken today, as the scriptures were gone over, I would ask, Lord God, that you would move in our hearts and our minds to help us to know you, the one true God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would move mighty over us and help us to make those adjustments that we could walk in your righteousness, not in the sight, in our own sight. Open our eyes that we might see the glory of the kingdom and help us to know you real and personally. We thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 170 in the hymn book.